Well, good morning, friends. It is 5:45. Jason, are you there, friend?
I am. I can hear you just fine.
Hey, look at me using the phones this early in the morning. It's a good day.
It's starting out wonderful. It might even be the best 5 minutes of the day.
Could just be. Well, I'm kind of new to this best five of the day, but Jason, you and I communicated a little bit yesterday, and given the state of the world, we thought we would talk about judgment versus acceptance on this lovely Wednesday morning, right?
Yeah, that you had offered that as an idea, and I said, yeah, I think that's really a good thing for us to be thinking about. You know, we're both fairly active on social media, and looking around, there is a lot of judgment about a lot of different things. And trying to make sense of all the information, I think so often leads us to places where we are prone to jump immediately to judgment rather than acceptance or understanding.
I completely agree. And, you know, I think you're right. You know, we are both active on social media. And, you know, I commend you because you kind of put it out there more than me. I tend to be more reserved on social media just because I don't like the judgment. It seems like everything is so polarized nowadays. I do struggle with that. And it's interesting because I think I struggle with that judgment more having come from being judgmental in the past and finding myself now in a better place where I am more loving, more accepting, more caring. And so I almost feel like, to me, the judgment hurts more because I used to be that.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, I think it's always, certainly in 2020, a risk in almost anything that we post on social media. How are we able to post thoughts or opinions in a way that comes across as loving? That's a real challenge, you know, and I have, even just within the last few days, I had commented on something and 3 seconds later deleted it because it was very judgmental what I was sharing. And I think we have to be almost constantly aware of how we're coming across on social media.
Right.
The other challenge that I see with that is, you know, there are things, you know, we are not in a post-truth culture. There are still things that are true. And how do we respond to one another in a loving way when there are things that are seemingly false? You know, do we have a responsibility on social media? Do we have a responsibility in our face-to-face relationships? And that's, for me, a moving target, I think.
I would agree. I think it's very challenging because where is that line? I totally agree. It is a moving target because I struggle with that myself. You know, I want to stand up for what I believe in, but yet, is this the hill I want to die on? You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it seems like, you know, we, and believers and non-believers alike, we pick all sorts of hills to die on that are maybe not worth dying on. You know, we get pulled into arguments about a whole bunch of different things that are, at least for me as a believer, that pull away from our testimony as believers. And I think there's always this, what is the relational cost if I get stuck on certain things? Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely aware of that propensity within me to do that.
Yeah. All very interesting thoughts here. So what's the solution, do you think?
Well, I prayer is certainly a big part of it. You've maybe heard me say this in the past. I know Mark and I talk about it all the time, but learning to ask good questions, I think, is important as opposed to asserting. And what I always refer to as question three is it possible I'm wrong?
That's a tough one.
Most of us, it's, we often assume other people are wrong, and maybe they are, but I think we have to start from that place of, is it possible that I'm the one who's wrong? How do we know that? I think it's, again, prayer. It's trying to come humbly to the things that we're encountering and kind of let that lead into loving well, listening well with others.
Agreed. Hey, Jason, this has been fun. Yeah. You've made this very easy, which is good because few things are easy these days.
Yeah, and at 5:45 in the morning.
I know. Nothing's easy at 5:45 in the morning. Jason, I appreciate you. Yes, I am so glad we could. I appreciate you. I appreciate your wisdom and insights. And, hey, let's do this again sometime, but maybe a little later in the morning, okay?
Okay, very good. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, have a great day. Bye.
Well, there's something about, I would say, a man in his truck or a woman in her truck.
Mm.
There's something special, especially here in the Midwest, about some of these trucks, and especially family trucks. I mean, it's great to get some of these new ones, like that Eau Claire Ford, the new F-150 lease deal. But there's also something about trucks that have kind of been passed down. Because I remember my grandpa Byers had this Ford Lariat truck. And we remember back when you could do those things.
Yeah.
We would ride in the back.
In the
topper would be on. We ride in the back on the wheel wells and stuff. And yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of memories with that truck. And so when my older brother, who was the first grandchild from our family to get his driver's license, mm-hmm. got his driver's license, didn't have a lot of extra cash to get a car. And so I think a year or two after he got his driver's license, he was getting to that mode where it's like, I really don't want to drive mom and dad's vehicles mm-hmm. anymore. I want to drive my own. Well, my grandpa sold him that truck for $1.
Nice.
Because he wanted his grandson to have a vehicle. And so,
awesome.
Yeah, my brother drove that truck all over the place.
I drove a truck when Dean met me. I drove a little Mazda B2000 with canoe racks on the top. Yeah, that's one of the things that attracted him to me. Like, he was attracted to me, and then he saw me, like, driving this little truck with, you know, canoe racks on top.
And we know how outdoorsy he is.
That's the woman for me right there. That's the woman for me.
So a long preamble that brings us to this story about trucks. After 44 years, a man from Minnesota, just across our border here, has parted with his famous truck. Bob is his name, and he had a 57 Chevy pickup.
Very cool. He
handed it off to a new owner, the grandson of the man he originally bought that 57 Chevy pickup from.
How cool!
Now, Bob, this Minnesotan, in his early 20s, purchased the truck from a retiring farmer. He purchased it for $75. Again, this was 44 years ago, 75 mm-hmm. bucks for a truck. Well, he used the pickup to drive to and from his job at a grain elevator. Good, honest work. 38 years later, still driving the same $75
Seriously.
Truck on his retirement day. That is built well.
That's awesome. They don't make them like that anymore.
Well, recently, Bob sold it to Tom Leenstra. Who's Tom? He's the grandson of the man who originally sold him the truck.
That's so cool.
A lot of great nostalgia there for the grandson to get the truck back when, again, Mr. Bob there retired. How much did he sell it for? $75.
Nice.
I just love that.
I love that because he could have, you know, because it's a collector's item. Here.
Sometimes I scoff just a bit at Minnesota Nice when I see their drivers over here on our side. But that's Minnesota Nice, so I applaud them.
I applaud them as well. Very cool.
There are all kinds of terms that have made it into common usage into our lexicon in a year like this, like pivot and
like none other
uncertain times and unprecedented. And I will say, and also there's negative ones like doom scrolling and stuff. At some point, just get off social media. But staycation, I think, has gone into our public consciousness even more than in recent years because now it's in a lot of cases a forced staycation because you weren't able to go where you were hoping and planning to go.
Right, and that's very much where we're at. We had a big family vacation planned, and those plans have fallen by the wayside,
and so
that happens.
Here's what we would like to know on our WIB listener line this morning on the WIB Wake Up Show at 715-396-1670. Text is great. We'd love to hear it in your voice if you'd leave us a voicemail. What's the bright side of staycationing this summer?
Mm-hmm.
What's something where you're like, man, I don't think I would have enjoyed this blessing with my family or solo if you're a single fellow or gal, but what's something, a bright side of staycationing that you never would have anticipated that maybe it was forced on you where you're like, wow, this was really, really great.
Yeah. You know, for us, like we redid our patio. We kind of poured some time and money into our patio and man, are we enjoying that? Like last night, it's a Tuesday night. Didn't care. I went out there. I grilled some hot dogs. And
nice.
Started the campfire. Started. I lit the fire, you know.
Yeah.
Made fire. Yes.
Oh, I have made fire.
we sat out in the patio all evening. Had some music going out there.
Sure.
And just relaxed the evening away sitting by the fire. And can I say, like, when the kids were little, I've always loved having a fire in the backyard. But when the kids were little, we just hardly ever did it because it was stressful.
Yeah, as a mom, you can't relax.
No, and they'd want to do s'mores and stuff, and I'd be like, ugh. And now they're like, hey, Mom, can we do s'mores? I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Do what you want. Because, you know what? They do it themselves, and they clean up after themselves.
Right.
And I think the children are catching on to the fact that, hey, if we just, like, do stuff ourselves and clean up after ourselves, we can kind of do a lot more stuff.
It's a winning formula.
It really is.
So we're asking you, what's the bright side of staycationing this summer? Something, a blessing maybe you wouldn't have anticipated. Leave us a voicemail or a text at 715-396-1670. I'll just say real quickly. Mm-hmm. Honestly, watching my kids play in the sprinkler because,
yes. You
know, you'd hope that maybe we'd be able to go someplace, stay in a hotel. My kids love hotel pools
or, yeah. You
know, go to lakes and things like that, which we have a little bit, but more often. And didn't get to do that
right. This
summer. But watching my kids, we just have this oscillating sprinkler that the former homeowner left there. It has a $3 like yard sale tag
on
it. My kids love this sprinkler. They love. I mean, they made me play baseball in the sprinkler.
Have you ever played baseball with water balloons?
I really want to. I want to do it with water balloons and tennis rackets.
Okay, serious fun to be had playing baseball with water balloons.
Yes, there may even be a water balloon toss or so. Just a quick plug for our parking lot picnic. Yeah, keep in your family groups, and we'll do a little water balloon toss with the kiddos on Friday as well. So, be a nice day for some water fun.
It will be. And, how are you embracing the staycation? We really want to know.
My wife and I had a bit of TV film-based nostalgia last night. Because there's something called IMDb TV, like IMDb, where you go to look up, you know, when it's like...
International Movie Database.
Yeah, and I use that site all the time when it's like, what other movies is that guy
is
or that gal in?
Is it a streaming site? Or,
well, apparently they now have
a
streaming
site
as well, too. So it pops up sometimes that they have some free movies and things like that. Well, there's a free movie that popped up last night called The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. It's as bad as it sounds.
It's really bad.
It's ridiculously photogenic teenagers who are fighting, like, evil things.
It's really, really bad.
But the reason that I say it provoked nostalgia, that we actually sat down and watched this thing for the second time in our relationship, It was just as bad. Well, the first time, this movie came out in 2013. My wife and I got married in 2014. 2013 is when we were getting to know each other, when we were dating. We went to Mycon Cinemas.
Nice.
We wanted to see a movie that came out in 2013 with Matt Damon. I like Matt Damon.
Yeah.
He's great in The Martian. Lots of different things. Well, he had a movie called Elysium. I don't remember if I ever actually saw that movie, but I did not see that movie that day because we purchased tickets for Elysium with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Like him. Good actor.
Yeah.
We turned left instead of right. We went into the wrong theater. And you've probably already guessed it. You're way ahead of me. We went in and accidentally saw Mortal Instruments City of Bones. Now, here's the thing. I've told you how ridiculous this movie is. It took us a good 30 to 40, maybe 45 minutes to figure out that we were in the wrong movie because it's
nice.
Like... why are they fighting weird demons with swords? And why has Matt Damon not appeared yet 30 minutes into his own movie?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I went to a movie with a friend years ago. We were going to see a comedy just for a mom's night out kind of thing. And we were running late and we thought, well, we're going to miss the previews. It's okay. We'll still be there in plenty of time. So we go running in and we go into this theater and we sit down. And it was like the right actors and actresses, but it just like we missed the previews. We missed the opening credits and we sat down and
previews
we're enjoying it. And I was like, oh, like we must have missed a lot of character development in those first couple minutes because I almost already feel lost here. But whatevs, stuck with it. 25 minutes later, the movie ends. Here, it was showing on multiple screens and we walked into the wrong screen.
We saw the
end of the movie, missed the first... 3/4 of the movie.
And again, going back to us in 2013, as we were watching this awful movie, at some point you're like, we've already missed so much of the Matt Damon movie.
We might as well
just stay here and finish it off. Again, it was just as bad the second time.
Speaking of streaming services, though, yesterday I introduced Rebecca to Marie Kondo's Tidying Up.
Did it spark joy?
So happy. It sparked so much joy. She loves it.
Roll those shirts. Well, some people may say film festivals are a dime a dozen. Not so much this year because people aren't really gathering, but normally you see them pop up all over the place. Well, Domino's Pizza, as usual, is doing something a little new, a little different. They're launching a film festival, but it's called the Homemade Film Festival. Instead of showing off the latest artsy indie film, they want you to submit a home movie made by your family. Well, you've been spending a lot more time at home. Submissions open right now, can be entered until August 21st.
Sounds fun. A lot of pressure, but, you know, it could be fun.
Yeah, and if you think, I can't write and produce and direct an entire film, that would be really time-consuming, which it normally is. Hey, submissions have to be less than 60 seconds long.
So it's like a short.
It has to be less than 60 seconds long. So again, it's...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, some of the things, you know, when my kids are dancing... around the living room, that's probably 30, 40 seconds right there of filming. Once the submission period is over, you can vote for your favorite homemade video during the fest period of September 7th through the 11th. And then the winner, by popular vote, free pizza for a year.
That sounds like a good thing. It says the free pizza for a year is given in the form of $1,560 in Domino's e-gift cards.
I wonder if they let you take like a lump sum payout. And you're just like, nope, I want all my pizza now.
Now I want to throw one big party. We can't social distance.
Yes.
But I think that I could eat $1,500 in pizza.
I enjoyed some Domino's pizza the other day when we had a little get together here at the station, and it was delicious.
So. I was there. I was like, did you? Oh, yeah, I was there.
It was very good.
Gracious. It is delicious. Delicious. So, so get your film, you know, in. And I think it sounds fun.
Even cooler, your film could be seen not only by an online audience, but also it could end up in a future Domino's commercial.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So get filming and might win some free pizza and some fame as well. Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.